fucking disrespect. You get whipped like eggs in the kitchen and understand I ain't no motherfucking goat. She let me put dick in her throat. If she do not, then that bitch could just go. Cause she know I got the teeters and hoes. I fuck them and knock them back up to my throat. Or I tell the bitch to get dope. You make it your wife, you was one of my hoes. After I beat this, she go to your home. My Scotty too hotty, she shaking that body. You know that she really be shaking that ass. I walk in the party, you know it's somebody. She touching on me, she feel dick in the strap. When niggas be talking, that really ain't rap. They need a gown, cause they just be cat. Mike, I'm not Rocky, I'm all with the boxing like chicken. This 40 piece come with a bag. My Scotty too hotty, she shaking that body. You know that she really be shaking that ass. I walk in the party, you know it's somebody. She touching on me, she feel dick in the strap. When niggas be talking, that really ain't rap. They need a gown, cause they just be cat. Mike, I'm not Rocky, I'm all with the boxing like chicken. This 40 piece come with a bag. Like diamond. I glisten, shine in the dark, so I'm giving you vision. The timing, specific, shots like I'm Kobe before buzzers hitting. I line them like clippers, Blake with the razor, I duck when I'm clipping. My rhyming, too different, tongue twisting, twisting like my dreads be twisted. Swati this acting fool when I be spitting. You see I'm switching position, niggas be mad cause that's one of they bitches. They argue and tell them don't listen, but she can't help me cause I'm really gifted. Magic powers, how I'm gifted, and he don't want smoke cause he wanna listen. He listen, feel like it's him spitting. My Scotty too hot. She shaking that body, you know that she really be shaking that ass. I walk in the party, you know it's somebody. She touching on me, she feel dick in the strap. When niggas be talking, that really ain't rap. They need a gown, cause they just be cat. Mike, I'm not Rocky, I'm all with the boxing like chicken. This 40 piece come with a bag. My Scotty too hot, she shaking that body. You know that she really be shaking that ass. I walk in the party, you know it's somebody. She touching on me, she feel dick in the strap. When niggas be talking, that really ain't rap. They need a gown, cause they just be cat. Mike, I'm not Rocky, I'm all with the boxing like chicken. This 40 piece come with a bag.
Shaking that body, you know that she really be shaking that ass. A rubbing the body, you know somebody. She touching on me, she sticking the stab. Man, talking on running the rap. Can't, baby, you can't. I'm gonna rock it over the box and check the 40 come with that.
It's the Fasty Junkie 2 Show every Friday from 8 to 10. You are tuned in to Keys to the Street Radio.
Okay. You motherfucking tuned into the IT Fashion Junkie 2 Show. You motherfucking lit. Okay? I told you guys all week, King Dredd would be here pulling the fuck up.
Yes.
And King Dredd did that here. Right, yes, sir. In the building. All right? And I'm about to get all the juice, all the sauce, all the tea, everything that I told you I was going to get all week. Okay? So, King Dredd.
Yes.
Talk your shit. Tell the people about you for the people that don't know who you are. Tell the people about you.
I go by the name of King Dredd, a.k.a. Mr. Trrr Bow, a.k.a. Slutty. You feel me? Now, boom, the whole Trrr Bow thing. Right. The whole Trrr Bow thing, it came from the whole term of Trrr Bow, and I just switched it and put my name into it because I want kids to, you know, say something more positive type shit.
Okay.
The whole slutty vibe is because I was always a slut, and I just said, you know what, it's time for me to be honest and publicize it to the world.
Okay, all right. With him saying that, I have to ask him this question. You're slutty. What does slutty mean? Because everyone has their own definition of slutty. You're a male. Tell me about the slutty. Talk your shit.
Slutty, in my definition, just means I do what I want when I want, when I please to. Don't nobody make me do nothing. Can't nobody ask me to do nothing. I mean, you can, but it's up to me if I decide to do it type shit. You feel me? Always keeping it honest. That's always a factor. We don't lie. We don't like it.
You know, like I always tell people, if you tell people the truth, you never know. They probably still fuck with you. When I feel like you lied to me, you took away my option. I don't like that. You didn't make me get a choice to say, okay, yeah, or no. Because if you told me the truth, I probably would have still fuck with you. Now that you lied, now I know that you be lying about a little bullshit. And that shit right there made me tight because that ain't gonna make me second guess everything you tell me. Like, are you lying? Are you telling the truth? Are you trying to fucking G me? So, that's a fact.
I'm the type of person where I look at, you know, the minor things. The littlest things tend to be big situations type shit. Like, for instance, you come and tell me, I like your coat today, knowing damn well you don't like my coat. You feel me? I'ma always look at it. Like, now you're always gonna deceive me when it comes to the littlest things. So
but with that example that you gave me, I would say that I would have to hear from somebody else that they was talking shit about my coat. That's how I know. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And if you didn't like my coat and you felt like you wanted to roast me with the gang, like, at the end of the day, I would feel more special because you spent all day to tell everybody about my fucking jacket. My shit lit. And my shit different. Ain't nobody got this shit. My shit lit, okay? My shit lit.
I'm gonna be honest.
So that's what I would think.
I'm gonna be honest.
I dress weird, so.
You tell everybody you don't like my coat, then you tell me you like my coat, I'm gonna feel some type of way. Why? Because you should have told me you don't like my coat as well.
But you have the upper hand now. Now you know that they are phony. So now I'm gonna fucking treat you accordingly, bro. I'm gonna treat you accordingly, bitch, because I have the upper hand. I know that you phony, and I know that you like to do little fuckboy shit, so it's okay. So now I can fucking play with you like a fiddle. This is gonna be fun. See, I love shit like that.
But see, I don't got time for that.
Oh, I'm petty.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm petty too. I'm a Virgo.
Girls, you're a Virgo. I'm a Scorpio. We petty.
Petty.
Don't play like that.
But see, I don't got time for it no more. Right? Because pettiness out of me make me like want to fight you. I don't fight you.
No, see, you can't be trying to hit people.
See?
How did you get your name, King Dre?
Oh, I always, you know, just everybody always called me Dre, and I always referred to myself as a king. So as I started making music and I started getting really, really good at it, I started, you know, telling people. It started off Dre King. Then it went to King of Dre or something like that.
I was like, hold on. How much times did you switch your name? How much names did you have before you got, like, this is the one that I'm sticking with. That's it.
I probably had four. Like I said, you had Dread King, and Crash was going to be a name for a little bit type shit. And then I think I had one more.
Who inspired you to grow dreads?
Oh, myself a little bit.
Yourself? Okay.
Don't get me wrong. My family and them, they had dreads and shit, but I never really cared about what they did.
What's your family background? What's your heritage? Where's your family from?
America.
Okay.
We black.
He said, we black.
I'm lying, though. What inspired me, I was in eighth grade, right? And a girl that I had a crush on one time told me I would look good with dreads. And I was already thinking about it. It was already in my head.
So it was like the confirmation.
Right. The next day I had dreads.
He said, the next day I had dreads. But don't play like that. You said, I look cute with dreads. Okay. No, but that's a fact. Like, I tell guys the whole thing. Your whole life, you've been trying to get the pussy. How you don't know what the pussy like and what the pussy want? Your whole entire fucking life. Like, I'm sorry. I'm too old to be coaching people. Get it together.
If you tell me
this will look good, okay, thank you.
As soon as she say this smell good on me, we buying the whole bottle. Nigga, just back,
okay.
The whole truck up. Nigga, just, all right, let's go.
Smell good for me, boy. I want to be, thank you. That's, you smell everything like I want to, who? That's an instant snack. When a man smell good. I think a man feels like that about a female as well. When she walks by and she just smells like, it's just like,
Box of women?
Is it a box of women? I don't know about that. Depending on what they doing, they probably sweaty. I won't be by myself.
The good way, and I break out a lot.
I'm trying to roll up here. Damn, he just fucked me up.
Wait, box of women?
Wait, is that like Wheaties or something?
Nah, you're a girl too.
We giving you a mic.
Yeah, you got to come over here. You should go.
Oh, you thought when you came in this door, we were scared to play.
Right.
Oh, we crap jokes all day.
Right.
That's what we do. We have a lot of
because he over here
bro.
Just shooting shots right? everywhere. Like,
is she looking like a whole snack? Okay, she's trying not to be on camera. I don't know why. Mm. I do not know why. Okay. I did. I said we're going to give her a mic. She was looking at me like, no, I wasn't ready. She gave me all of that vibe. She's like, nuh-uh. She said, are you ready? Oh, no, she said, Nate, she's not ready.
Time out. Don't you want to be a model and all that extra? Right. Right. Mm. Right.
Listen, he's talking my language. You're a big, great model, and I am a fashion designer, so.
Hello, like, don't you need
definitely
me
to talking
me?
My language. Hey, right? Just before you got here, so he's oh, God. This is confirmation. See, I love this. He always works in mysterious ways. Big up yourself, Lloyd, who don't play like that. You never know who you're going to meet, who you're going to run to. So always talk your shit. Is she popping? She is. Okay, so where do you grow up? Yeah, where do you grow up?
All over. A little bit of Kentucky, a little bit of Brooklyn, a little bit.
Kentucky?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How was living out there?
Oh, shit.
I'm going to tell you, I experienced racism for the, like, real racism for the first time. Not, oh, a white person calling you a nigga or a white person sitting there telling you can't come in the store. Nah, fuck that. That's not racism. That's just you don't like some shit. I deal with it. I'm talking about, like, I was a young 9-year-old black kid, you feel me? And I had a button up that day. I looked like an actual man, and I'm going around the neighborhood in Kentucky helping rake people out yards, and I see a girl from my school that I know. She's raking up her yard. She got this big ass yard. Her family, you feel me, got money. So I go over and I'm like, "You need help?" She's like, "Yeah, this and the third." All right, so I start helping her. Her grandmother, ass came out with a shotgun to the window and told me I got a couple seconds to dip, but you gonna shoot me.
Whoa.
I left my rake and all that.
Whoa.
Oh, shit. That's real racism.
Damn.
I'm sorry that happened.
Damn, shit. That's fucking crazy.
Right.
He was 9 years old.
Nine years old. You pull out a whole shotgun on somebody.
Nine years old.
Man, I'm glad you're still here, bro.
Nah,
fuck all that.
Really fast.
Nah, I know. Listen, man. Hey, listen. The fuck out of Dodge, quick, nigga.
He said a couple of seconds. I had milliseconds.
That's it.
That's all you needed to tell
That's
me.
That's
it. Damn. But yeah, you know, I lived the life. I've been around.
So when did you move from Kentucky?
I officially got out of there when I was 16. I was always going back and forth throughout my whole life, type shit. So officially got out of there when I was 16, and you know I was going through a lot of issues and this, that, and the third with my school, and we had came up with an agreement that they'll drop my charges if I leave the state. Wow. Yeah, I live life.
Shit, man. So you had to leave the state and they would drop the charges. That's deep, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's because they apparently did not just want you there.
Nah.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
I lived a life. My family out there lived a life. So it's more like it's one of those situations that when they realized who I was associated with, it, who my bloodline was, it was just, you know.
And that's why black is king.
Right.
Wait, let me get this straight. Y'all niggas tearing up shit down there? That's what you trying to say, yo?
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
We was all saints.
All right, moving on. All right.
We was all saints.
Heard. Got it. No problem.
So who inspires you to keep going and doing music? But before you answer that, I want you to tell me, how did your music journey start? When you were a kid and you was 9, you was basically going through a lot. That was a lot for a 9-year-old.
Right.
So when did it start where it played where you wanted to put this into music and songs so you could express yourself? Tell me that journey.
I always did poetry. I always was fond of poetry because of Tupac. Although I didn't know him too well because, you know, I was young. But at the end of the day, I understood the concept of it, and I understood that it did help me some way, somehow. I didn't know how it was going to help me in the future, but I knew that, you know, me writing a word here and there, it allowed me to unleash a pain in a way that I didn't even know I was even holding on to. That I thought I was getting rid of in basketball, because I was big on basketball. I was supposed to be in the NBA and all that, whatever the case may be. But, yeah. So I started doing poetry. Then it came about after my first year of college when they kicked me out and lied on me saying I was a whole bunch of neck shit. Don't even worry about it.
Oh,
that's a whole nother. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. My college literally lied on me. Told me
God
I was
damn,
smoking
just,
in my own car. And all. I don't have a car. I ain't had a car all 24 years of my life. But in college, apparently, I had my own car. It was just a bunch of shit.
Right.
Anyway. So after that experience type shit, I started realizing, you know, maybe being that you have to kind of like go through school to play basketball, that's not going to be for me because I'm not really into the whole school antics.
Heard.
So I started looking into other ways to, you know, be somebody that can change the world. Yeah, I don't, you know, doctors and shit, they change the world and shit, but I feel like as an artist or a basketball player, being that so many of us look up to it, if I was to go ahead and reach that statue, I can get other people to look up to something different. I can use my voice to say, hey, you know, I'm a rapper. Yeah, I understand you want to be where I'm at, but I promise you being a doctor is better for you. I promise you being, you know, influencing people on a different level.
Heard.
That's
real shit. Fucks with that.
So when did you come to the decision that you wanted to make music? Who was the first person that you let you hear something besides your poem, a song, when you transitioned from a poet to an artist?
Two people I
in
used
a
to
different way, because you're still an artist when you were a poet.
Two people I used to hang around with, they had went into the studio for the first time. I didn't let them hear nothing. I wrote none of that. I was just like, yo, I got a stew session, come with me type shit, and they supported me, so they came. And then I had made a song called Trapped in Irby's Calling. What was his name? Future? His Perky's Calling remix? Yeah, I did
okay,
that.
Okay.
So I did a remix to that called Irby's Calling.
Hey.
Basically, you know, it's just about weed and shit like that, the weed side of Perky's. Then I went ahead and I did something called Play For Me, my second time in the studio. And that was the first time that I got a real reaction out of the people around me saying, like, nah, you got, like, you got something, a banger.
There's something there.
Right. Yeah. In the song. Not just you were good at, you know, putting words together and whatever the case may be. No, this song specifically can be your first banger. So that let me know, like, all right, out of three songs that I made, only three songs I ever wrote, third one's a banger, I'm on to something, you know, right. So I just started going harder and harder and harder. And it came to a point to where an OG, one of my, you know, I call him an OG. He's not gang affiliated or nothing, but he's older than me, so he's like an OG to me.
Yeah, he's someone you look up to, like a mentor.
Right. He came to me and he was like, what you need to do for your craft to help you not sound like anybody else, just 7 days, don't listen to no other music. Meaning, you can listen to instrumentals all day, but nothing with words. If you want to hear words, you rap the words to it yourself. You freestyle or you rap something you wrote to, whatever case may be, but stop listening to everybody else for 7 days. And I promise you, you're going to find a sound for yourself. And I did that. And then, bow, came out.
That's how it was born. Bow. Like, everyone has, like, their own, I say that's their own slogan. Like, if every artist, everyone that makes beats, every producer, they have something that once it comes on, you know it's them. Even an artist, right? You ever hear an artist, and once you hear Megan Thee Stallion, you know, that's Meg. That's Meg. You know Meg? You know what I mean?
That's a whole
you
crap.
Hear Cardi, you know that's Cardi coming on.
You know that's
Lil
her.
Lil Wayne's Flick of the Lighter. To be honest, that was going to be my first, like, thing. But
so who's your GOAT? Give me your top five
GOATs.
Who's
your greatest of all time?
Right? Give me the top five. Run it down.
Who's your greatest?
I can't give you a top five. I like people for different reasons.
Well, give me a top five people that you like for the reasons why you like them. I'm happy that you said that. Tell me why. Talk your shit.
Lil Wayne, for instance, I was always fond of his music because I felt like he was originally one of the OGs that was bringing a new sound to the game. And what I mean by that, he wasn't bringing that, I'm selling cocaine and I'm clapping this and I'm doing this and I'm that I'm on the block all day music. Nah, he wasn't doing. He was actually making artistry like music, shit that make you think, shit that make you sit there and feel your emotions or whatever case may be. It take you out of sitting there feeling like you in the streets all day.
Heard.
He was a hood nigga that took you out of the streets. That made me realize artistry right there. Boom. You could be different. You don't gotta sit there. You feel me? I guess rap about the image that you live all the time. You can rap about other things. Then, of course, you got Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lyricist. I'm talking about.
Eminem is fucking nice.
Right.
He's crazy as fuck.
But he's nice. He's crazy for a reason, though.
He will tell a bitch in a fucking song, I will kill you, burn down your house.
Right.
I'll probably cut the baby out of you, but I love you. Mm. And be so passionate about it. With a point, you singing it too, like, I love you, bitch. It's like,
right.
That's crazy. No.
You sitting
there No. Yeah. He's crazy. He makes good music. But he's an artist that, like, this is how I feel about Big. When I listen to certain Big songs, I can close my eyes and I feel like I'm right there while he walking through the door, kicking down a 4-4. All you heard is popping his mic getting beat up.
Right.
I'm right there, like, with him while he doing that shit. So, definitely there's artists like that, right?
Eminem showed me that freedom of speech in your music is real. For real. No other artist can really stand by, you know, certain things they say without having to worry about getting locked up and things like that.
All right. I was riding this ship till you went there. I was riding the ship till you went there. He got white privilege on his back.
Yeah, but he got white privilege on his back.
Yeah.
I give him that. I'm not going to take that away from him.
I like lyricist why, but that's the reason why he could push the envelope. He knows that, which is okay for the culture, but at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? So it opened up doors for us to do things.
Right.
And things of that. But yeah, if you could use that.
Wait a minute. Before I forget my thought. Sometimes it's not what you say is what you do. Even though he's talking that shit, doesn't mean he's probably doing that shit.
That was a fact.
You have a lot of people that talk that shit and they be doing that shit. Yeah. And they line themselves up with their own indictments. Right. So
Oh no, he kept going to court for the same shit. Yeah, he was doing a lot of that shit.
He was doing a lot of that shit that he was speaking on.
That's no cap right
and
there.
And that's mostly with fighting with his baby mother.
Yeah. It's just
which is real life shit.
It's real life. That's why people fuck with him, because he wasn't afraid to open up the door to his life too, to let you know how fucked up he was. I mean, you went through the whole process through his whole life. You know what I mean? Recovery. Yeah. Through the addiction, through everything, the rebirth, everything.
Yeah, but now you have people talking about the ops, and I'm going to blame the ops when I see the ops. Now, you blame the ops and you seen the ops, but now when you think about it, like, what were you really beefing with the ops for?
I can't explain that.
Yeah.
I apologize. A lot of my music don't really talk about, you know, blaming ops and shit. Don't get me wrong. I got songs that, you know, people ask me to do drill-like songs for those reasons because they like that, but... I try to stay away from that because I don't want to go to jail.
I don't want to go to jail
for my music. I'm going to keep gangsta with you. If I go to jail because I get caught for some dumb shit, that's that. But I don't want to go to jail for my music. God damn it. It's my fucking music.
You just want to get paid.
Well, some people make music from their life experience.
Get a couple of houses, put a couple of people up. Not down, nigga.
And then some people make life from other people's experience. Some people try to be like in the street life and they're really not like that because they think it's cool. So everyone's perspective and outlook on things is really crazy, especially with social media. Okay,
what keeps you going?
What keeps you motivated and inspires you to keep going?
Remembering the fact that I had some RIP brothers that, you know, when they first met me, they had nothing but true support in what I'm doing. They believed in me more than I believed in me. They made me believe in me the way I believed in me. I still got some, you know, brothers that's alive that treat me the same way, which is blessings to that. But right now I'm talking about my brothers that passed.
True.
They are the ones that, you know, really, really, especially my brother Gene, R.P. Billy Gene, because when I first met him, he ain't even from a hole in the wall. Not a hole in the goddamn wall. He heard me freestyle one time and he looked at me and said, "Yo, bro, you're gonna make it. Like, you dead ass gonna make it." And I just looked at him and I said, "Why you say that?" He's like, "Cause I'm listening to just how you putting your words together and how you doing shit is different, bro. It's different. And I appreciate that."
So who's your biggest fan?
Who's my biggest fan? Myself. Myself. I can't lie. I'm not gonna sit here and say I probably do. I probably do have a big fan out there, but myself, I know myself is my biggest fan, because at the end of the day, all I think about is my damn music. All I think about is my career and how I'm gonna better it and how I could support myself in a whole different type of way.
Who's your worst motivated critic?
I don't know. I think I had one of those and I kicked him off my social media. I kicked him off because I felt like he was always coming on my post at the wrong times wanting to play and joke. If you want to play and joke, just come in my inbox. You don't, or you wait for another post. You don't joke and play on my music, because then other people come and they read those comments and they feed off of what you're saying. So you may be joking and playing, but other people don't know that.
Indeed.
So they come and they read that, and now, boom, now you're persuading them off of just your comment of you playing. I don't got time for that when it comes to my music. Play with me on other shit. I'm always playful, except for when it comes to my music.
So what's your pet peeve? Something that you hate?
Fake support, liars, deceit, haters, everything down that line.